With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod, the season finale of Season 8, Walking Dead. There will be spoilers here if you haven't watched Walking Dead yet. Don't bother listening. My name is Howell, this is Jamie.
Yeah.
We'll be joined any moment by Matthew Wanless from London. But first, if you've heard of the internationally renowned horse race, the Grand National, we went there last weekend to celebrate stag do for a friend, a bachelor party. For a friend, and we had a lot of fun. I bet on the winning horse twice, once for my wife, once for me. Made a lot of money, left with £5 more than I arrived with. So it was a successful day. How many times did you win, Jamie?
Zero. The other sad thing is the only money I made was when, because I put a bet on for Phil Thornley, he gave me a fiver because he won on that bet.
Yeah.
That I made money by working.
Did you put a bet on a horse on that race as well?
Yeah, none of them won.
Wow.
I didn't put money on Tiger Roll. That was the issue.
And what do you think?
Everybody made money.
And what do you think about contributing to the cruelty of animals?
I think it's terrible and I'm never doing it again.
Yeah, I agree. Although, what they say about the horses loving it, I will just say this.
They do look like they're smiling.
They look like they're loving it. Oh my God, when a rider falls off at the beginning and they just pound round the track three times. They remind me. They're herbivores, a lot like my rabbits, and they do remind me of when you see a rabbit running around enjoying itself. They love it. They love it.
Yeah, who doesn't like running? And I bet they feel great when they've got that little chimp off their back. I bet they feel great and he's gone. They're like, oh, this is a lot easier. And why didn't you just get off me at the start?
And really, the only things we saw injured were the humans. A few humans got chucked off the horses and to be carried away, but the horses were fine. They've removed one of the biggest hurdles, haven't they?
I think they have taken a bit of height off them, which I think is for the benefit of all. No one wants to see a horse go down like that. It's not nice.
Shot in the face. That's why when you're walking in there and there's animal rights activists campaigning, they're holding up signs saying, don't be part of the slaughter or whatever. Mm. And I just wanted to go over and go, I agree. I agree with you.
I do.
But
I
it's
do
a
too.
Stag do. I've got to go. And
it's hard to not go. And, and ultimately, I won't go again, though. I didn't not enjoy it was nice having a day out and doing something different. But I don't, I'm not a stag, I'm not a horse racing guy anyway.
No.
I don't like betting. I find it stressful. Yeah. I find it very stressful.
Do you?
And I don't, and if I'd won, I might have enjoyed it more. I didn't win anything, so I just felt really bad about myself for spending so much money.
Yeah, you would have had less morals if you'd have won, money.
Well, must have been good.
There we go. Anyway, it was fun. Yeah. So, The Walking Dead finale.
Yeah, here we are. We got there. Yeah. I tell you what, I really want. Before we even begin, yeah, Matt, let's bring Matt in.
But
I want to say this. Please, I really, really hope next series they don't do a 16-episode series cut into two parts. Mm. If they do it as a 10-part series all in a one, I promise them that they'll make their lives and their storytelling issues a lot easier. They will solve a lot of problems.
They won't do that, though, will they?
They probably won't do that, but they should do it. They should look at the number of the 16 episodes. Is unwieldy and unnecessary, and when you split it in two, it creates an imbalance in the series because you're going to have to create these moments of finale, mid-season finales, new mid-season openings. It just creates a real, you could have these crescendos in the middle, and you could have these lulls that follow them. And it just doesn't work.
I just don't see why that should be such a problem, because surely just tell two stories then.
It's a problem if getting from A to B is quite a short distance. And it is. It was for this series. The wall, well, we'll get into it.
But what I'm saying is, if you struggle with splitting one story in two, just tell two stories a series. Couldn't you?
Well, you could do, but they struggle to tell one, Howell. That's the problem, isn't it? They've struggled.
They've struggled, but all the, I would say, all the pieces were there. They were just completely wrongly placed, or the wrong amount of time was spent on each piece, you know?
It feels like 16 episodes. We've got through season 8, and maybe, you know, doing a podcast for every episode, going through them, analysing them, has been also made the process a bit more, you know, I feel a bit more turgid, but this series has struggled to make a war good.
Maybe it does make it turgid, but it shouldn't. For example, I think that we should do The Marvellous Mrs. Maisel next week.
And great show.
If we were to do an episode per episode of Marvellous Mrs. Maisel, I really don't think that we would be... I don't think our criticism would be as harsh, because it's an incredibly well-made thing that just, in general, I think has been really... has managed its expectations, or has managed its world very well. This just feels... It feels like when you look at an organisation that you and I have worked at, for example, a radio organisation. Whenever this particular radio organisation makes a new move or tries to rebrand or whatever, there are huge parts of us that just go, why are you doing that? What are you... Like, there's strange decisions being made. Yeah. And
I wanted to ask you, actually, something, because you've been watching The Talking Dead, haven't you?
Yes.
Now...
Oh, we may have.
In terms of the fact that it's been a little bit, it's not been as good a series. They kind of know it. Has there been a feeling during The Talking Dead that things aren't great?
No, because they're like a fan show and they're part of the same network.
They don't care about
Don't do criticism. You sometimes get some. You sometimes get some apologies. Some pretty thinly veiled apologies where people might say, oh, you might have wondered what that was about, but actually... not very critical. Matthew Wanless now joins us. Matt, we're already out of the gate like a horse at the Grand National that we were at last week.
I'm furious.
Yeah,
I'm furious.
Sorry about that.
No, I can't believe you wouldn't wait for me.
Well, we've held back. We've held back. Jamie, you didn't even get to the best anecdote of your day at the Grand National.
Oh, it wasn't great. I got a train back at midnight, and there was a girl on that poor girl on the train who vommed and weed herself on the train back. And it's been a while since I've been on a night out, but that reminded me why I don't go out anymore.
We came.
Does he post a video on social media? As is the done thing, I think now.
I would never do that. That poor girl. I hope she's fine. I'm sure she is.
I think that's what you're meant to do, Jamie. That's your social responsibility.
Let the world down there. We came back on the train from Liverpool, and the Manchester contingent, the only place we could sit was in the toilet, three of us. And it was one of those toilets with the sliding arc doors. So every 5 minutes or so, somebody new would come over and need a wee, and we'd all have to squish out into the corridor.
And it just led
its way to lots of hilarious jokes from me saying things to the people going in, like, I hope it's a number one. I might not.
That's pretty disgusting. So hang on. Sorry to detract completely from the chosen subject of the podcast, but do you just, like, if you live in the north, do you just go to the Grand National? Is that a thing you do?
No, we went on a stag do. We've never been before. It was great.
Oh, I see.
And I won. So that was nice.
You won the Grand National?
I did. The jockey was very gentle on my back. With flying covers. I was called Tiger Roll. Which, you know, I'm not sure if they're saying I'm a tiger or quite fat, but anyway, so it was fun. It was a fun day, Matt. So
never been to a horse race, never.
Yeah, it's good. It was a lot more fun than I thought, and I would definitely go back.
Cool, man. Did you wear tuxes and top hats?
No, not quite.
We did get a smart.
But not too bad. This is Aintree. You know, this is a Scouse smart. So it's a lot of boobs hanging out everywhere. Really.
It was like being at a Scouse wedding.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very big Scouse wedding, obviously.
Right. Do you hate Liverpudlians?
Absolutely not.
The two of you are Americanians.
I love them because I've worked there for 16 years, so I would never say anything bad against a Scouser.
I don't hate any.
Not on air at any rate.
People.
Absolutely. No, they're wonderful. Great. They're a great people. Now, let's move on. What are we talking about? The Walking Dead finale.
Walking Dead.
So, let's jump in there. Jamie and I were just talking about sort of the balance of stuff and how. Mm. So I was. There were moments in this that I was very happy, and there were moments in this when I was very disappointed, and I can only describe it as a roller coaster in that way. Certainly, I think we can probably all agree that it felt, you know, 95% of this episode felt like an end to the entire series of The Walking Dead, didn't it?
I was about to say.
It had a very Return of the King vibe, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like if it ended now, if they told me that that was the end of the show, I'd go, you know what, it's not a great ending, but it leaves it on a hopeful vibe, and I'm happy to leave it there.
Yeah, it still feels like within the universe they've only explored level one of a potential 18 levels, but it was a sentimental and slightly heroic, I suppose, Hollywood ending.
You think level one of 18? I mean, because I think this series sort of feels like a separate entity from the rest of it in a way.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's that they're just wrapping up the diversion. They're saying, thank you, Scott Gimble. Off you go. Let's start again, really, is what they wanted to tell the fans, wasn't it?
Well, I think this finale felt like they just wanted to wrap this shit up. They were so done with the plot that they just wanted to bang it out and move on. And it does feel like behind the ending sort of tone, there was a possibility that things could get interesting again now. Maybe we can leave behind this humanity, man being the enemy, and we can do something more intriguing.
Well, I would say that, apart from, I was just saying, Matt, there's sometimes when organisations, particularly creative ones, make odd decisions, it's confusing as how they can do it. And you go, are we being too harsh criticising something? None of us are writing a 16-part TV series once a year. I mean, are we being cruel? But at the same time, there are series that manage to do it very well. And quite often, the answer is that there's too many cooks spoiling the broth and there's too many, perhaps, corporate objectives interfering with stuff. And my criticism of this episode would be, if you're going to do that, if you're going to wrap it up and go, okay, let's draw a big line and start again, great, fantastic. But if you're going to do that, don't also keep a load of feet keep a load of irons in the fire just in case. Like,
what, Evil Maggie?
Evil Maggie, what the fuck was that? So that's my biggest disappointment, is I can get over lots of stuff, but if you're asking me to believe that Daryl is so angry at Rick because he didn't retaliate, that he would join a shit Godfather-like scene with Maggie, if you want me to buy that, then don't have him drive Dwight, a lesser mortal who he really hates, into the woods and give him the keys to a car to drive off. That's Daryl exercising mercy. And then immediately he's in the shadows of a scene where it's, they're going against his boyfriend, his beloved. It's like, don't do it either. And do either of you buy for a second that group of people, that Maggie and Jesus and Daryl would all actually sit round and plan a mutiny against Rick?
Well,
do you buy it?
Jesus is a weird choice, isn't it? Because
yes,
Jesus has been very much in the camp of, we give everybody a chance.
Pacifism.
So what the fuck? And it stood out to me like such a sore thumb that it was such a sort of crowbar in of like, okay, so we can all see now the next series is going to be about, the next season is going to be about mutiny and the discovery of this new group and a new world, the formation of a new world. And it just didn't, yet again, it was like, you didn't earn that moment. You just didn't earn it because Jesus was on that side, because Daryl was somewhere in between, because
yeah.
all of that.
I think they did a lot of things right, and then they undercut it with some really wrong stuff.
Yeah, so what like, about I just keeping didn't, Negan alive?
I just didn't need... Keeping Negan alive, absolutely fine. I really liked the way it was done. Everything about it was good. Maggie's reaction was great. That was a really intense moment in the episode. And then they just... That whole kind of epilogue, just... I felt like the... it was like they needed to remind us that this might actually carry on.
Yeah.
And don't worry, there will be interesting stuff next series. I just think it would have been much more interesting to leave it where it was. Yeah. In terms of not being so explicit with the shady Godfather scene, and then the kind of I don't even know what you call it with Rick and Michonne being all like, "Oh, we're gonna lock you up in a cell, boy," at the end of it, and it just didn't ring true for any of the characters.
And
it would have been fine to discover that next season.
Yeah, and yet all of that stuff is interesting on in and on of itself. I've been banging on about
it is. You just don't need to signal it so far away. It's like, you know, we've got months before any of this is going to happen. I don't need to hear this now. I'm not even going to remember it.
But again, such issues I've got with pace on it, because you. I stand by my idea that this is tracking, if not the history of kind of humanity, this series of starting in chaos, and then you form a sort of order where individuals have to get on, and then you have societies trying to get on, and then you have evil societies. The Second World War, certainly, so you get the Hitler character. And this, in that plot, in my head, this bit of that plot is about Nuremberg trials. It's the debates about, do you hang Saddam Hussein, or do you let Nazis off because you want to show that you're the that anyone who follows you, you're not about vengeance and murder. Fine. But that, in and of itself, is worth exploration when... You get these moments like just these moments seem to happen really quick. Just imagine if the beginning of this series you had a sort of French Revolution type setup where the leaders are all having to meet somewhere, like the sewers, for example. They're all meeting there to plan the war in the first place. And they're planning them of how it's going to work, and it's there's people finding them out. And then suddenly you reveal a master plan, and then Negan gets put in the caravan with Doodah for a day. There is surely, if you sat down...
I feel like your arguments always start to fall down when you start to try and replace what's happened with other things.
I suppose what I'm saying are doing what I think, which is following like a rough outline of World War II, for example, or whatever war they're following, if you do follow those things and you just commit to those things, you've got some really clear episodes and that you can pace out. Instead, it seems like they went, we need action up front. You know, you can see the boardroom meeting. We need loads of action up front. We need an episode with this. We need to get rid of the bin dippers. We need to... Oceanside. Did Oceanside get 16 seconds of screen time on this episode?
So crazy choices made.
Suddenly.
In terms of where time was allocated. Yeah. It's like, when I think back on how the series has gone and how short this episode felt.
Yeah.
Exactly. For one thing, I think other series have shown that, you know, you don't have to have, maybe it's because it's, I don't know, to do with the network, something like that. But, like, have a longer episode for your finale.
Yeah.
Have sprinkle in a couple of 90-minute ones so that you can get everything done in due course.
Yeah.
Rather than rushing. And it did feel incredibly rushed.
Yeah. Or create that game of some kind of this Negan setting up the false, you know, in this second half of the series, what have we really had? We've had some awful wrapping up of Bin Dipper, and we've had the switcheroo. We've had Carl die, and we've had the switcheroo with Negan and his plan. You could have had, okay, Carl dies, fine, if that's what you've got to do. You really could have had Negan and the Saviour's plot working out with Negan creeping his way back in. That would have been nice to make that last longer. Instead, he just appeared and he's back and everything's sorted. Everything, the time allocated to stuff, was ridiculous. That day that the bin dipper got Negan in her car, you remember at the end of that episode I said, how on earth did they do that? And it's like, not only did we not see how on earth she captured him, because he was fine last time we saw him, she captured him.
It also had no consequences.
It had no consequences. He just went back to the saviours. It's like, if you're going to do that, make going back to the saviours something interesting. And here's my fundamental problem with the whole thing, is that neither Negan nor Rick at any point felt truly in jeopardy for very long. You don't have the stakes of the leaders being played with for long enough to make us really think that either of them were ever in any trouble.
But I'm surprised that I thought both of you would have some reservations about Negan surviving, because you had expressed them earlier in the series, both of you. I thought you'd both be like, oh, God, he's alive.
Well, no, for me, I wanted him dead.
Yeah, yeah. I said I thought
the way in which
die.
It happened was good.
Yeah, I thought that for dramatic reasons, for the reasons of drama, he had to die. But remember, this isn't the end of the story, so that's where I was wrong. According to Aristotle, he has to die by the end of the story, but this isn't the end. But I remember as well saying at one point, tell me what follows if he does die. And that's the thing that I think they've realised, is, well, if you do kill him, it's such a big end that really would have been potentially the end of The Walking Dead. You know, what do you do?
I like that it's created this unsettlement within the camp, but I think we could have read that into it without having it shown.
Underlining our time from Maggie really annoyed me. It just felt like, what do? We bide our time and we wait and then we do something. And it's like,
we wait until the next series.
It's cruel and evil. But actually what they're saying is, probably we'll bide our time until we're convinced otherwise and we see that it was a good idea in the first place. Maybe.
Or maybe they kill him, but they don't go to war with Rick. You know, I think the two things aren't necessarily mutually exclusive.
Yeah. I think having that tension is a good thing next series. Yeah. I think, yeah, you're right. They haven't earned that turn between those characters. No. That's what they've failed to do with any of the characters all series, and it's ridiculous, really. You look at Morgan's sort of journey, it is just pointless. Oh, he's going to spend the next series in the garbage dump, busy, because he's just figured out he can't keep killing everybody.
Let me just say, at the beginning of The Talking Dead, right, Chris Hardwick introduced it as saying, so this was it, this was the big crossover episode between the two series, Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead. And they always do this little bit in it, this little funny bit into an advert break, when they say, let's say goodbye to all those we lost. And they have a slow motion music, like at the Oscars when people have died, and they show all the walkers that have died. And it showed walkers in the other series and people in the other series dying. So I think in America, potentially, we've seen Morgan get in a helicopter, which would explain what the fuck is going on. That's the only thing that can have happened, because how else can it have been a crossover?
Oh, God, I really don't care for this crossover nonsense.
I think I did predict that the helicopter was for Morgan, and that also I was going to be gutted if that was the case.
I don't. And I think, if we're going on the prediction, I predict Negan would survive. I also predicted that Eugene would create... I didn't say explosive bullets.
Whoa.
I did think blanks.
No,
I didn't say blanks.
No, you didn't. That was Paul who emailed us.
Yeah, but I'd mention it a week before Paul had. 2 weeks before Paul had, in fact.
What?
That maybe he'll make blanks.
Did you?
Yes, we'll go back and we'll listen to these in our private
time. Are you sure?
Are
you sure?
Yes, I did. I remember saying maybe
because you
Eugene
didn't say that last
blanks.
Week when I read out the email.
I did say it, Howell. You don't remember it, but I did say it then as well.
All right.
Well, the evidence will tell. We'll come out.
Yeah, the evidence will tell.
Here's Paul's email from this week. Seems like an episode.
Can I just say, I didn't listen to Paul's email from last week because I didn't want I didn't like the idea that this guy was emailing in the week before the finale with his ideas about it, especially when there is you know, evidence out there to show you what happens in the form of the comics. But I predicted at the beginning of the episode that Eugene had tampered with the bullets. My wife will back me up on that.
Matt's just slagged off. Both Matt and Jamie have just taken credit for Paul's idea and slagged him off for emailing us. That's the customer service you can expect.
Paul
on the box
is a liar and a thief. He's reading things in advance and passing them off as his own ideas. Well, I think he works on The Walking Dead. And he's just trying to gain some kind of cachet by knowing what happens in it.
I also guessed the killer of on Broadchurch after the first episode. I've got a history with this kind of shit. So, continue. What did Paul say?
He said, "Hi, Hal. Well, I was kind of right with Eugene. He did mess with the bullets, just different results. All in all, not a very satisfying ending and all a bit twee with a ghastly soundtrack. American TV series do have a habit of leaving too much to wrap up in a final episode, and it all ends up feeling a bit rushed and not being as good as it should be." Bang on, Paul. "I know that the series hasn't finished, but this did feel like an ending. What I really wanted to see was Rick bring Negan to his knees, hand Lucille to Maggie, and let her finish the job. It's, in fact, more interestingly, would be handing the bat to Maggie and then Maggie deciding to spare him. That would have been great. Anyway, after the last three seasons, something surely we deserve." Yeah. "And now all the surviving saviours have miraculously been given up their bloody past and started a gardening club at weekends.
And that all got very hunky-dory very quickly, didn't it?
Yeah. And the bin dipper lady is back to speaking normal English. I hope they get some new writers in to get back on track next week." Well, I agree with almost all. I enjoyed the music. I quite like the music on The Walking Dead, but yes, it was quite sentimental, but I'm quite sentimental. So some questions from the internet that I would like to know your answers to, boys.
Have you gone trawling for audience interaction?
No, I just found... I wanted to find out about this crossover thing, and I never really found an answer to that.
Okay.
But I'll tell you when they start playing Fear the Walking Dead here, because I will be watching it. Here's some good questions from theinsider.com. Do you think that someone's going to distribute the rest of Carl's letters? Because he wrote more letters than that.
Everyone else has read those.
Everyone's read
it. It wasn't important.
Okay, not important. What else have we got? Oh, where's all that gone? Oh, sorry. Hang on. Are we going to see Dwight again? Is he going to come back?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he probably will.
With his wife? 100%. Will he find Sherry? Are we going to stay with him looking for her? I thought that looked pretty wrapped up, that, like, okay, he's going to find her and he's going to bugger off.
He'll come back eventually, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. Is Daryl going to let the others believe that he killed Dwight or admit that he let him go?
Why he wouldn't admit it.
Now, that is a good question, because it might be that if they do have a change of heart about mutiny, it might be that Daryl admits to that at some point, which...
I think Daryl would just... He's very sort of short on words. I think he'd just say something like, he's gone, and people would assume that he means he's dead.
Yeah.
And that Daryl's killed him, but it just means he's gone.
Two really good questions. Where's Gregory?
Why didn't Gregory... I mean... I don't know. They should have had some Gregory in that.
Why did none of the saviours try out their new ammo? Not one of them tried a shot. Not one of them. It was like
Negan tried one, didn't he?
Set up by...
Negan tried one, and all the saviours saw that, and they were like, oh, the bullets are fine then.
Yeah. So what are the random stained glass windows hanging from the tree about?
Oh, for God's sake, no. I mean, that whole...
Was that... Clarify something for me. Was that the first shot of the whole series?
Yes. Yes. No, it was. It was.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, you're right, Matt. That's a good point. You're right. Yeah,
right at the beginning of Series 8, they had that shot of Rick, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Do you think...
Just checking.
Do you think that Maggie is going to properly turn against Rick and Michonne? Do you think it's just going to be a mission to kill Negan?
It'll be to kill Negan. It will cause tension and conflict. It may lead to some levels of deception and betrayal, but it will ultimately not lead to an all-out
No, fisticuffs, but nothing more.
Yeah. I would like to say that Negan and what you know, they whenever Negan and Rick fought each other over the last two series, they did it so badly. Like again, Negan's running away, so Rick starts firing a gun randomly until he runs out of bullets.
Yeah, he loses any sense of cool that he might have.
Yeah. I know.
Where's your semi-automatic rifle, Rick?
I know. And also, you've got the complete upper hand here. You've got an army following behind you. Negan's hiding behind the only tree in the field. You know exactly where he is. And yet he storms towards the tree. And then the baseball bat comes out. Yeah. How he manages to screw that up, I do not know. It's ridiculous. And then he just manages, when he does slit his throat, he only does it just enough so that he will survive if he's given a quick, you know, pressure to the wound situation. It's just, I don't know. It's really badly done.
Did you notice that Jadis's name is actually Anne, possibly? Morgan introduces himself. And she says, "You can call me Anne." How far up the list of things we don't give a shit about is that?
You know what? The good thing for Morgan is he's going to get that lovely IKEA cabin to stay in for a while if he is still at the rubbish
That's
dump.
That's perfect for Morgan. That is perfect.
Simplistic.
Yeah, he deserves it, poor
minimalist.
Son.
Yeah.
But no, he's going towards Austin, Texas, to take part in the other bit. Which looks good, actually. The trailer looks great.
Does it, though?
Yeah, it's a good series. It's not got the budget, but it's a good series. I mean...
The thing is, I thought the point of The Walking Dead was that it was meant to be sort of taking longer to show how the apocalypse came about. I didn't know that it caught up with the Walking Dead itself now, which I find a bit disappointing, because I thought that was the point of it, to languish on this.
Yeah.
You know, this...
No, it didn't. It went from...
Came down.
I'd say the first... series at most is when there's still the army around and stuff like that.
But that means they've condensed 8 seasons of The Walking Dead into like what, 2 of what of Fear the Walking
but
Dead?
That's really weird.
But
it's so quick, The Walking Dead, isn't it? We've discussed this. The actual time that's passed. It's like they only met Negan last Tuesday.
No, that this series has been a short time, but the rest of it is years.
Judith's age plus 1. Maybe. So, come on, your dad's. How old's Judith now?
Judith is at least 3 years old.
Okay. Yeah, so
it's only
4
about
years.
Oceanside, are they going to hang around? Are we going to get more of them? Are they going to be living with them?
They asked
God
us,
knows.
Steve, what a waste of time those two extra little settlements were.
They asked
I am
us
so
to...
angry about that.
I am.
Because I found out today, and I try not to find out too much about the comics, because I do intend... to read them one day, but neither Oceanside nor the Bin Dippers are in the fucking comics. So those are both just figments of some little Fox executive's imagination. Jeez. And they are completely—they just done nothing for the series whatsoever.
No. Well, it's Scott Gimble's imagination. That's why, and that's why he's going, and that's also why they asked us to stick with so much shit like that, and took so many leaps, and we trusted them. And then they wrapped them up.
Yeah. And then they've had no impact on the series whatsoever. Neither thing. I mean, a few firebombs chucked at the end and a couple of deceptions from the Bin Dippers and a helicopter that no one has said anything about. And that drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah. And here's why it drives me crazy. Because if that really is a vehicle for Morgan, and it's got to be, because Morgan, surely, Morgan's got to get from Atlanta to Austin. It's got to be for Morgan. Who else could it be for? He's being left at the dump, and Jadis is probably going to go and join the others, right? So number one, we've got to stick with Jadis. We're going to keep her around. But number two, so Morgan is going to be used for that. That, for me, is like, in this world, you've introduced such a device that would be so valuable... And you've wasted it.
Completely game-changing.
It would be like someone walking in with an antidote, you know, having, like, the promise of an antidote.
No, it's not quite that big, is it?
Something that's like a... You know. It's almost out of this world crazy. If it was an antidote, it'd then be like...
No, helicopters exist in the world. It's not like it's a complete...
Yeah, but by this time, we know that that is a phenomenally, like the fuel it takes and the value of that thing is so huge that to use it as just a fucking, to tease us all this time with it would be the equivalent of popping up with someone going, I think I've got an antidote, and then for 5 seconds in the last episode going, oh, it just turned out to be some Vicks vapor rub.
Right.
Well, but don't do that
to us. You know what really annoys me about that particularly is, you remember that scene we all were so annoyed about where Negan crashed his car and we didn't even see the crash?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Mm. You know, take the fucking budget from the stupid helicopter that you used in 3 shots and yeah. do a bloody car crash.
I mean, when you look back at all this now, and we can, because the Negan war, it should have been so much more... It should have been good. You know, the Negan plot line, everybody was excited about the arrival of Negan.
Yeah.
Everybody was intrigued by this season and the arrival of an actual war between Rick and... And they messed so many parts of that up. They've got so much wrong. They're cutting all that off now. They want to move on.
I think we're being too harsh because they got a lot of it right and then they fluffed their lines at the end. Like, this half of the series has been really quite poor overall.
Yeah.
But the first half wasn't bad. Mm. And nor was Series 7, in my opinion.
Everyone slags off Series 7
the most. I liked a lot of the Negan stuff.
Yeah, and, I did.
And, like, the introduction of Negan and the first, like, half a series where they're completely subjugated by him
yeah.
was brutal and, like, and nasty and really unpleasant, and I thought built it up really well.
Yeah.
And then so when they started to resist at the beginning of this series and they started to fight back, it felt really exciting for a long time.
I don't feel like that. I feel like it's been on the downward slide.
I think if we go back and listen to some of the episodes, Jamie, we'll hear you on the record enjoying yourself.
Do you know the episodes at an eight and a nine? No doubt about it, Matt. There are episodes within this series that I have liked. I'm trying to judge it now as a whole, across the whole series. How do I now feel afterwards? Mm. And try and look at that over the course of all 8 series. I think also what I'd like them to reflect on, the showrunners for next series, is the idea of a 16-episode series split into two.
Yeah.
I really believe they should cut that shit down to a 10-episode continuous series, and because it's storytelling, they really struggle.
Well, they're not going to do that.
Split it into two.
They're not going to do that.
They might do it. Why can't they?
Because of
Game of Thrones goes. Game of Thrones is HBO. Yeah, well, this is AMC.
This is network. This is where you have two seasons. You have a split season. That's how it works.
AMC is a cable channel, just like HBO.
Is it?
It's not. It's not network, Al. It's AMC.
You're thinking of ABC.
No, it's not.
AMC is The Walking Dead.
It's got advert breaks, doesn't it?
AMC has ad breaks. You can have advert breaks on cable TV still.
I'm pretty sure Game of Thrones has advert breaks in America. Yeah.
Is it subscription then?
Yeah, yeah.
Mad Men was AMC.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is why it's such a big deal, the figures they get, is because it's the highest figures ever for a cable.
Oh, right, okay, fine. I was.
I mean, actually, you know what? I've taken Jamie's side on that. I don't actually know. So either of you can be wrong. I don't care.
I'll go with Jamie on this until we're proven wrong and then he claims that he was on the other side of it.
Bear with me.
I just got really angry when I thought about something else. Don't use your Google, Jamie. Your internet connection will dry up. You know you can't use two devices on on your town's internet. Another thing that made me furious, right, was, you know, I keep going on about, like, the games that they could play. Like, I love it when they're going into a house and they've never been there before, and that's a game. Well, they had the same opportunity with war, with all of the war stuff, and it all felt a bit like we weren't aware of what the playing field was in this game. So, for example, when Rick and Nat are walking out and they're walking through a field, and then Negan happens to have wired up that particular field with a million walkie-talkies so that they could hear him talking, and they're all going to shoot him on that field. The leap that it takes that they have managed to get them to exactly that spot for me again was like just so fantastical. And you can sort of accept that if it's going to be a really impressive battle scene. But it wasn't. Everyone pulled the trigger and died. That was it. So it just all
fell. It didn't bother me so much, that stuff.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll say this overall. Have you found the answer, Jamie?
Yeah, it is AMC. Yeah,
I know it's AMC.
Well, we knew it was AMC.
Jamie?
No one was disputing that, Jamie. You need to come up with something better than that, Jamie.
What are you concentrating on now?
What was the question you wanted to investigate?
Well, it was whether it was network or cable. What are you doing? Are you eating your tea?
Oh, right. No. AMC is definitely... No, sorry. I was just Googling stuff. But I was listening as well. Don't worry about that. It's all right in the brain. AMC is definitely
cable.
Can I
ask a
cable
question, actually?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jamie, last week, because I listened to episode 15, the podcast on episode 15. So you watched it all?
Yeah. Watch the whole series.
It seemed like you didn't know that Simon was dead.
Yes, I watched it all.
Is Matt onto something?
There was a little bit in that where it was like, I was really unclear. I was listening to it like, but surely they both know that Simon's dead.
All right. I missed the last. I missed the last 10 minutes because I had to do the pod. I was watching it last minute.
You see, Matt, I've worked with him so long that I just wrote that off. I wrote that off as he was concentrating because he wanted to have his tea. I thought his slowness was just because of that. That's hilarious.
You know what? Fair play to you, Matt, for spotting that. You know, that's
Wondless nails it.
Oh, well spotted. I was about to say
that was a better plot twist, though, than the whole entire series of The Walking Dead.
Liar. I can't believe it. I was about to criticise Matt for essentially criticising you for not doing your own homework, but we should remember who got done for plagiary at Manchester Metropolitan University.
Me. Shame. I went to Alton Towers and I had to do a 3,000-word essay in 2 hours. And I was panicked and I did an entire book's worth of plagiarism. But you know what? Anyone would have done it to go on the Nemesis.
The Nemesis is a good ride. Did they kick you out?
No,
they didn't. They failed me for that part of the coursework, though. But I still passed.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, can I... I'll just be boring for 1 minute, if you bear with me, see if my theory's correct.
Oh. Right?
This is my final thought on this series and what's going on. In one of my many jobs that I do, I am a business advisor, and I look at corporate structures and boring shit like that. And Netflix, as you know, I'm a big fan of, and I've always been fascinated with how they work. One of their key rules in their... whole ethos is this: as a business grows, it becomes more complicated and people introduce more rules, and that's where businesses go wrong. So their theory is the bigger you grow, the more you should simplify the way that you work with people, reduce the rules, right? If you think about that in the case of what is going wrong with The Walking Dead, as a series like this continues, you have so many interested parties. The network needed to keep the revenue up. The fans you start playing to the fans and you start setting things up that the fans will react to. You start putting plot devices in like Carl dying or whatever. And things just become more complex when what they actually should be trying to do is keep it as simple as those first couple of series, which are simple objectives or simple games.
Yeah, and how many episodes are in those series? 6? I think at most there was like 10 to 12 episodes in one series.
Just thinking sixes then. Just do 3 episodes of... tell 3 stories a series. Stop worrying about all this stuff.
I think also what they need to... We need to remember as well, how many series are good... Eight seasons in.
how many series, you know, do we know that stay at a high standard when they get 6 to 8 seasons in? It's very hard to do.
Few and far between. Few and far.
It is a hard thing to pull off. It's very difficult. It's a hard to keep a story's momentum, to keep characters interesting and surprising, and also, like you said, the audience and their demands. What's going on? Who's crinkling paper?
It's Matthew.
Sorry, that's me rustling. I apologise.
How many Sherlock Holmes short stories did Arthur Conan Doyle write? And most of them are bloody great. It's not about the idea that creativity runs out. It's about the management of it and the ethos around how you're allowing people to create that. Because the reason we're still watching it, the reason we still enjoyed that episode, is that we are still invested in the characters. The actors can't become different people. You know, they're still delivering the same characters. They don't grow four heads and try and do 12 things at once like the series is trying to do. It is possible to make something last, you know.
Yeah, but are you not mixing a little bit of the idea of a business working and the idea of creativity working? Because it does come a point with creativity, with a certain set story and characters, that you are going to run out a little bit of steam and you're going to run out of road.
I think
that's different to
road.
A business.
I think there's far less road in inventing. No, I don't think there's any difference, to be honest. I think the same rules apply with it all. I think creativity, you know, you can't say there's a certain size pot in creativity. There's certain business pressures that get put on it. For example, often series have to become shorter because actors demand more and more money. If the audience goes down, they'll still be demanding more money, and you know, budgets get squeezed and stuff changes for that reason, but not creatively.
I don't like it when we talk about this side of it.
Okay.
Because I feel like everyone has to deal with this part of the game, and some people still manage to create greatness, and
that's
some
the
people
point.
Don't.
That's my point. That's my point. Is if they stop, like our criticism of Sherlock, if they just stick to the bloody stories, it'd be great. Or they need to stop faffing around, overcomplicating everything, and just let us fall in love with the characters. You know, we love the characters. We'll go with them. Don't make them shit.
I don't understand why The Walking Dead deviates from the comic, but, and this is an interesting thing, because it does have very successful source material, but if they'd stuck with the comic, we wouldn't even have Daryl.
Well, in which case, I'm glad they've deviated, but not to the point that they have, you know.
But I felt that they earned the death of Carl.
Do you? Well, I suppose they did, but I don't think that he should have died.
I think the way they used it was right. I think in terms of the end result, I don't think they gave us. I mean, they did. They gave themselves half a series, but they didn't show the curve of the arc. They just showed the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Because it really, if you take the last episode's evidence, Rick was nowhere near ready to start giving that kind of leniency to Negan.
Exactly.
No, not at all.
That stuff last week with him and Morgan going off and murdering a bunch of people should have been episode 9. And then episode 10 should have been him figuring something out. And for Christ's sake, I mean, they could have littered it with loads of shots of him looking at mirrors, which they love.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's reflecting on himself. Honestly, you ever seen such basic direction? It's so ridiculous. But
yeah. Well, there we go.
It's a weird show. It's a weird show.
But we'll be watching the next
series.
Let's mark it. Oh, how do we mark it?
I started the series on an 8, and I finished on a 6.5.
Yeah,
I think that's a good. I think 6.5 is where I finish.
Just gonna agree. Yeah,
it's easier to agree with me.
It's just flat. It just feels almost like I'm. I'll tell you what it feels like. It feels like I'm rating something else in a weird way by the end compared to the beginning. It almost feels like, oh, it's the same characters, but it's a different thing. It's just odd. I don't like what they've done with me.
Yeah, but I still I feel like I'm on a 6.5, but I'm hopeful. Feel like season 9, they've got this all out of the way now. There might be room for some intriguing and, you know, fun destinations for this show now. I really hope a good showrunner, new showrunner comes in, that could change everything.
Because for the rest of the whole thing, we haven't had a villain, a focal point like this.
Right.
And I think maybe that's where it fell down.
Yeah, yeah.
The world has always been the enemy in the past.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never spent too much time on one person. I think that's not true at all. What am I talking about? The governor.
Yeah, the governor. But I never particularly liked the enemies. But fine. You know, Negan, like you said, season 7, I didn't have that much of a problem with. Quite enjoyed when I think about the pool table scene and the, you know.
That was good, actually.
The whole plotting of that actually felt quite steady to me. I enjoyed 7. Mm. It's almost like, you started to lose people in 7 just because it's been running a long time. And you reacted in a way that was so drastic and insane. But then again, the whole friggin' Oceanside people were in 7. Mm. I've just deleted them out of my memory. So,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Favourite moment in the series? Favourite moment?
If only I could remember some of Gregory's funny lines, because they're always my favourite.
Well, Gregory had a lot of fun. I think. For me, it's probably when Negan said, "I can't believe you did that, Carl, you little bastard."
Yeah.
when they were at the gates of Alexandria, I really enjoyed that. And
mine was John. Eugene and his macaroni vom. I just I loved that was the setup for that.
MacGyver shit, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Wow, the two finger vom.
I think my favorite was the very first episode of season 8 when when Negan steps out and says, "Sorry, I was in a meeting." When they're all waiting for him with the guns.
Mm, yes, that was good.
That was funny.
Yeah.
So, there we go. So we'll see you for season 9 of The Walking Dead when it comes back.
You just went completely... Sorry, I lost you there for a second.
Oh, right.
Season 9. Just out of interest, what have you been watching other than this?
What's the series on? We've just started the series on Netflix about the cult in America. The documentary, you know,
Wild Country.
Yeah,
it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm loving it. Although, again,
have you watched?
I hate to say it, but does this really need 8 hours? I'm 1.5 hours in at the moment, and I'm going,
a mate of mine at work has finished it, and apparently you are not going to believe where it goes.
Okay, great, good. Well, I know how it ends. I know how that.
I didn't.
All right, it's where the phrase "drunk the Kool-Aid" comes from, isn't it? I think.
Oh well, that tells me
what? No.
Everything I need to know. Thank you very much.
What? Isn't it?
No, that's not at all. No. You're thinking of the Jonestown, aren't you?
All right, Jonestown. Right. But have you never heard of Waco, Matt?
Yeah, I've heard of Waco.
Well, this is that, isn't it?
Is that this?
Well, no, it isn't. I don't know. Not Waco.
Right.
It's not Jonestown.
You're such a dick, Howard.
Hey, Matt, have you heard of the Battle of Waterloo? Have you heard of Nelson?
Yeah, okay.
That's good. I'm looking forward to it again now. That sounds great.
Have any of you watched Homeland yet?
No. But I'm looking forward to that. Have you watched, Matt, Godless?
No.
Unbelievable. Have you watched The Marvellous Mrs. Maisel?
I watched half of that and I stopped for some reason. I can't remember why.
Really? I'd love for us to start an episode a week of Marvellous Mrs. Maisel for the next 8 weeks, but I don't know if you two are keen on that.
I've already watched it all. I love it, but I don't know if it's. I don't know if I'd want to go back and do an episode by episode.
I think it's the best pilot that I've watched. I think
it's great, really good.
Oh, I think the set decoration. I think the writing, the acting. I think it's an almost flawless TV series. I think it's brilliant.
Little piece of Mrs. Maisel and Matthew Wondrous trivia. That she is sitting in a cafe in, I think it's the first episode.
The Gaslight?
It's not in The Gaslight. It's during the daytime, and she's meeting someone. I can't think exactly what's going on. But it's called La Bonbonnière, and it's where I had breakfast six out of ten times when I was in New York.
Nice.
Before I'd seen it, because I think it's the best pancakes I've ever eaten in the world.
Brilliant.
In Chelsea.
Great, lovely. Okay, good. Then what else are we going to discuss? Where do we go next week?
Did I have you finished Jessica Jones?
No.
I did. And I've got to tell you,
on Marvel now. But go on.
I got to tell you, that series almost turned it around for me. Okay, it got interesting towards the end.
Mm, good.
Came up with some interesting ideas. And sorry, just one more thing. I'm going to ask if people have seen. Have you seen A Quiet Place?
A Quiet Place. The film, The Good Place. A Quiet Place. No.
Do you like horror at all? I don't like horror.
No.
I don't like horror, but do you like Alien?
I enjoyed Get Out.
Do you like Alien?
Alien, not particularly. Particular Alien.
Don't go and see it then, fuck you. Jamie, do you like Alien? Jamie's gone.
I love it. I've heard Quiet Places.
Okay. Jamie's having his tea. Yeah.
Can you not hear me?
Signed off.
Yeah, I can hear you now, yeah.
We can hear you.
My signal's going.
Okay.
Go and see it at the cinema, because it's really worth seeing at the cinema. It's brilliant.
Okay.
Will do.
I think, look, we haven't decided what we're watching next week, but the gaping hole that needs to be filled is Matthew Wanders watching Godless. Matt, can we not do a special next week just on you on episode one of Godless?
We can do it at some point, but I've got to go to Denmark this week, so I'm in out of time.
Excuses.
Okay. All right.
Look, just watch this space. If you've got any ideas of what we should do next, what should we do? studio@theboxsetpod.com. Thanks, Matt.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Jamie.
Good times.
I'm going to go and enjoy a boiling hot British summer's evening. It's as hot as Rick Grimes' jockstrap on a Saturday afternoon.
That's right.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.